Welcome to Grow in Grace Podcast, where we want to encourage you to think deeply about God so that you can know Him and love Him better. Join us as we strive to grow in grace together. Welcome to the Grow in Grace Podcast. We are your hosts, Shanna and Kristen. Hey, Kristen, what's up?
Hey, how are you?
Hey, I'm doing really good. How are you doing?
Oh, I'm good. We always record these way too late, and like we are closing in on midnight for me. So it is, and we've already though been talking for an hour. So
we started earlier.
We did start earlier. We started at like 10 o'clock. Is that about what time?
Yeah. Well, no, time, before that,
like
before
9 years. Yeah. I don't know. We've been talking for a while. It's fine.
I've been catching up with life.
We have been.
And that's okay.
Yeah, absolutely. So we jump into what have we been doing? And I legitimately spent like 10 minutes trying to figure out what I did the last 2 weeks. I know last weekend, it was just a lot of just hanging out with some family, going out for a birthday party or for a birthday celebration. Beyond last week, I cannot remember anything. So hope it wasn't anything major that
I'm
missing.
What does that say about how busy you've been though?
That's what it is that I legitimately cannot think of what's been going on. This last week has been a very, very long week. I had, I work from home. And so my boss came in from California and unexpectedly dropped into, he was supposed to be 2 hours north of us, in our main offices up there in Columbus, and got there and realized that the offices were closed Monday and Tuesday, and he didn't know that. So then he just came down here because there's a group of us that work here out of the Cincinnati area. So he just came down here. And so then we ended up working from someone's house on Monday and Tuesday. So it was like an unexpected, I went from kind of not having to interact with a whole lot of people to being around people all day Monday, all day Tuesday,
you know,
and not having time, like my own time. I didn't have control over my time, which is really tough for me. It was just kind of at the whim of my boss.
That explains so much too. Like looking back on our conversations this week, I'm like,
Yeah, I just didn't have control of my time. But it's been really great. I've transitioned into a new role at work. I'm really enjoying it. I'm enjoying the people I work with a lot. So that's been really nice, but it has been a very, very long week and it's only Thursday.
So we don't get to like see each other, but we text daily.
Yeah.
Yeah. And so there was some days where I'm like, it's like 3 o'clock in the afternoon and I haven't heard from her. Like, is she alive?
That's when I get just a question of you alive? And I'm like, yeah, I am.
This is not how we roll.
This is not typically how we roll, but it has been for this week, but it's been good.
Yeah. I kept asking this week. I'm like, hey, we're on for Thursday night, right?
Like, I know you were like, we're recording Thursday night, right? Like, yeah, we are. Got to make it to Thursday first is the problem.
And you did.
I did make it to Thursday, almost to Friday. By the time we finish this banter, it might be Friday for me.
Yeah.
Wow. Oh, but you have had a very busy last couple weeks.
You know, I feel like every time we talk, I'm like, it's been a busy few weeks, but
I think that's just life now.
I think
we are just in busy times seasons. Of life.
It's a season and I kind of love it because you know, like that's like true friendship when you can just like have a busy life and then pick up where you left off and you're like, hey, you're having a busy day. I want to know that you're alive.
Right. Are you alive?
And let me know that you're okay. So last week we went we're huge baseball fans. I'm a huge baseball fan. And we went to my favorite team. We're going to lose like people on this, but my favorite team is the Yankees.
Well, thankfully we are a podcast dedicated more towards women and not many women enjoy baseball. So, yeah. I mean, there's some I'm sure because we both enjoy baseball, but Yes. I don't think our demographic will change too much.
But I'm not a bandwagon fan though. Like my grandparents were Yankee fans and like since like the 30s. So I'm a Yankees fan. And so I got to take my kids, me and my husband took our kids to a Yankees game and it was so much fun.
That's so fun.
It was so fun. And then later that week, I got a text message from a friend that said, hey, I'm coming to the Texas State Fair, to the Texas, the University of Texas and the Oklahoma, which are massive rivals, football game. And I have an extra ticket. Do you want to go? And we kept joking around. Cause I'm like, I mean, I grew up in Louisiana, right? So I'm like, I didn't really watch football, but two, if I did, it was like the Saints or the Tigers. So I'm like, is there a t-shirt? Like I'm literally shopping around that says like go sports or I just hope both teams have fun. Cause like, I'm not a huge football fan, but I went to the game this last Saturday and it was so much fun. I'm like, I could be a football fan. I think I could, which I even thought of you. I was like, Kristen would be really proud of me.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun in person.
Yeah.
It was a lot of fun in person. So yeah, we did that this past weekend. And so it's been a lot of, so now I'm in this like season of like getting caught up on writing and editing and my house. Because it's just been a lot of like, you know, people, which I love people. I thrive on that. So that's okay. But now we're in catch up mode. And you know what I'm really excited about?
Is it something that's happening in 3 weeks?
It is something that I get to physically touch you in 3 weeks.
3 weeks from today.
Oh my gosh, it is 3 weeks from today.
I know.
Oh, how exciting. Yes. So if you guys don't know what we're talking about, we have a conference coming up in just 3 short weeks, November 3rd, 4th, and 5th in Danville, Virginia. And it's the For the Sake of the Gospel Conference. And I've been kind of helping coordinate some stuff and I could not be more excited at the lineup that we have, the worship that we're going to have, and just like the fellowship that we're going to have, like just being able to spend 3 days with people who love Jesus and love the gospel. I know that we're going to walk away with that, like super, super excited and super like revitalized. Like I'm so excited for it. So if anyone's listening and really wants to go, they are taking people still now. There's show tickets available. You can even walk up. It's in Danville, Virginia at Hope Church. And you can find tickets, Kristen and I will be there, at therecoveringfundamentalist.org. Tickets are, I mean, for 3 days, it's $50 a person.
Not
and
bad
we
at
will
all.
Have, nope. And if you have little kids and you need to bring them, don't you worry because I am over childcare and we will get those children will get gospel centered activities and we'll get to just sit and learn alongside their parents, which I think is so beautiful. So
yeah, it's going to be a really fun time. I'm really looking forward to it primarily because it gives us an excuse to get together and see each other. So
I get you for a whole weekend.
A whole weekend you get to like, see me and hang out.
Well, I let you go.
Sleep in the same Airbnb.
And not in the woods that we know of.
I tried to find one. I tried to find one, but I did.
Sure you did.
Well, today's episode, we didn't start off with saying we're so excited and because you'll understand why.
We are always so excited about it.
But as we said, it has been a busy season of life. Mm-hmm. And this happened to us a little bit ago and we actually had to, you know, take a break when Shanna was on vacation, just because of the way things fell, but we didn't want to do that again this time. And we had the opportunity to be interviewed on another podcast that is on our podcast network, the guys over at the For Freedom podcast. And we thought that it was a good follow-up. It kind of ended up being the kicking off for us because we recorded it before we actually recorded our last episode,
like the day before,
about legalism and the law.
Yeah.
And they interviewed us about, and now I should have had the name pulled up, but
legalism
I do not.
Legalism and grace.
Legalism and
how grace. Legalism hurts And Grace,
yeah, and Grace Heals. That's what it is. It was such a great title. But yes, How Legalism Hurts and How Grace Heals. And so we wanted to play that. It feels a little weird to be playing an episode that we got interviewed on, but we had some really good conversation on there, and we thought that it was very a very timely follow-up to our episode about legalism and the law that we did last two weeks ago. And you're probably going to hear some of the same themes in there, because like I said, we did record that interview beforehand, so it kind of bled into what we talked about. But I think you get to just hear a little bit more about us, and just like I said, it brought about a really, really good conversation.
It really did, and it was really great to hear two guys' perspective too.
Yeah,
I love that, and I love that. I mean, we were guests on their podcast, and that they came up with the title and everything, not knowing that we had already had a legalism and law episode already laid out to record the next day. Yeah. So they're like, how about legalism and grace? I'm like, that's perfect. Because the Lord has literally laid this on our heart. So that's wonderful. But other than that, I really love these guys. I love their hearts. I love, if you have ever been in a legalistic church where you have felt just the abuse, I mean, legalism, he would say is church abuse. So if you've ever felt that, this is the perfect podcast for you. Yeah. They're biblical counselors who want to see people and heal from that and to find a freedom and love in Christ. And so, it was I had a great time with them. They're crazy, but they are
crazy.
Or Freedom Podcast. Yeah.
They're wonderful. And this is just an opportunity for us to be able to get you guys to hear kind of what they're like and what their podcasts or episodes are like. And maybe you'll enjoy it and enjoy the way they do things, and you'll have another podcast to listen to, hopefully. So that is going to be our episode today, is that interview. So enjoy.
I do not mean to be mean. I do mean to be mad.
Those that criticize this kind of preaching, they don't like authority.
If you ain't got the King James, you ain't got, if you don't have a King James, you don't have a Bible.
And it'd be surprised, son, don't go to sleep while I'm talking. Don't you lay your head back. I'm important. I'm somebody. I love you. You know I love you. Have I convinced you I love you? You better nod your head. Yes. All right. Come on. Put it right there. All right. You stay awake and you listen to me.
I still believe it'd be a cold day in hell before I get my family to a woman. I'm a preacher.
When you got dressed today, you dressed deity.
This is the For Freedom Podcast, a podcast that is part of the RFP network that seeks to bring freedom in Christ from the spiritual abuse of legalism. Now here are your hosts, John Holyfield and James Seyfried.
And so fundamentalism is designed to unpack the idea of authority from Scripture. The problem with that is that that's not the defining principle in Scripture. It is a part of Scripture, but the defining principle in Scripture is love.
I'm not saying that all men who sit under that teaching will become abusive, but what I'm saying is the ones who are abusive will be drawn to that sort of teaching.
I don't want to give people just a list of things they can start doing differently until they have a heart out of which they're going to be doing those things differently.
but I think bitterness is different from hurt. I would say that hurt or even abuse does not have to result in bitterness.
Welcome back, guys. John just told me that I was introducing, so we are excited about starting this interview. We started this series months and months ago, just a mashup of recording with a different host of the network. And so leading up into the meetup coming up in just a couple of weeks, we are going to be interviewing each of the podcasts on a mashup event. So today we're excited about having the Grow in Grace podcast with us. They're going to be with us in November 4th and 5th. They're at Danville, Virginia. And so they are, we are excited. I've enjoyed listening to their episodes. I've enjoyed listening to their interviews with Amy. We had Amy on one of our top episodes we've ever had. Just such a great thing there. And they've been doing some great study on the doctrine of God and who he is and just some great stuff there. And so me and John are excited to have them with us today. And we're going to be talking about how legalism hurts and how grace can heal. And so that's sort of our topic for today. But ladies, welcome to the show, Shayna and Kristen. I want to call you Kirsten. I don't know why, but Kristen.
You want to call every Kristen Kirsten.
I guess so. I don't know.
I've noticed that with you the entire time we've known each other. Every Kristen is a Kirsten.
I don't know, man. I don't know what it is.
I've had
two teenagers that are Kirstens. One is at my church now, and one was at my former church. And the one was called Kiki, and the other one we called Kirsten. So I don't know why, but yeah, Kristen and Shayna, welcome to the Four Freedom Podcast. Shayna.
You did it though. Good job, John.
S and K. Here we are. S&K.
There you go.
Well, welcome.
Ladies.
I don't know. What are we even doing here?
What kind of shallow person do you want to become? Recovering from fundamentalism or something. They're everywhere. And I think to myself, well, you were just stupid to begin with. And if there's such a word, you're stupider now. Don't get flubbed up like us. And all you flubbed up people, you come, we'll all flub up together.
Yes, we do. We love your podcast. I have listened to every episode, and I keep thinking, all right, this is, whenever I see like the title, I'm like, okay, this is probably going to be the episode where, you know, I find something I just don't necessarily, you know, 100%. Still, you guys are like, I'm like, these people are spot on. I agree with everything they're saying. It's so great. So yeah, we really appreciate it, and think it's what you're doing is fantastic.
Thank you. It's okay if you don't agree with us too. We always say that. We love that. But you know, it makes our lives easier when you do. But it is honestly, it's been a joy. And Kristen and I say all the time, if you know, the Lord put this on our heart to do, and so we're hopeful that people get something out of it. But really, if they don't, what we personally, just in studying, have gotten out of these episodes and the doctrine of God, has been worth it. So we're really encouraged with where we're going.
It's great. Yeah. Why don't you go ahead and give us an introduction to our listeners of who you are, your background story, and we'll jump into the show for today.
Yeah, sure. So my name is Shayna.
Shayna.
I grew up in a Christian home. My parents loved Jesus, loved the church, very IFB. And so I understand, you know, I come from very, very conservative family. Grew up, I always thought very deeply about God, starting at a young age, and being a woman, that was not always easy, right? Like, there's lots of questions I had, and I wanted to be in all the deep conversations, even as a kid. And I think maybe that's why I feel bent toward children's ministry, is that I think kids can think deeply about God too. But I think being a woman, it was just difficult, and it stayed with me though. And I went through school and ended up going to Bible college, which is, this is like a very brief story. It's where I met Kristen, actually. And we just always had these conversations, Kristen and I did, where we were like, why aren't women having these conversations? And they were. I know that now, not in our circle, they were not. They were not having these conversations. And Growing Grace just kind of came out of a lot of late night, like 2 a.m. conversations of theology and how God calls us to think deeply. And so that's kind of that's where I'm at. Kristen can speak for herself, but I'm serving in my church now. I write curriculum for our kids, and we teach our kids like the deep things of God. And I don't think, looking back, and we probably will get into this when we're talking about legalism in a little bit, but looking back, I don't think that, you know, nothing is wasted. So all those years of like, it felt like a desert. I can look back and it's like, man, that was times when I was really learning and it felt like a dry season, but I'm seeing all of the fruit of it kind of now in our ministry and what we're doing. And so, yeah, that's really sweet. I live here in Dallas, Texas. I have 2 children that I homeschool. I have a 6-year-old little boy and a 9-year-old little girl. I've been married for 12 years now. And yeah, I'm just being faithful with what God has in front of me right now.
That's great. And you're only about 45 minutes south of my sister. She lives in Allen, McKinney, Texas. And so, yeah, she's right down the road from y'all. I was there. I flew into Dallas last Thanksgiving. So,
okay. Well, let me know when you're ever in town.
I will. It about bankrupted us last time, so I don't know if we'll do it again. Flying 5 kids all the way across. It's tough staying a week. Or 5 kids. 5 of us, not 5 kids. 3 kids, 5 of us.
No.
So, yeah.
That's expensive. We are, yeah. I think we're bringing my whole family, actually, to the meetup. And we were like, should we fly? I was like, mm-mm. Even 2 kids. I'm like, we're driving this thing.
That's right. So, well, great. Kristen, tell us your story and about who you are.
Yeah. So, as you said, my name is Kristen. I grew up on the mission field. My parents were missionaries in Panama. And so we were there for about the first 12 years of my life. And that's primarily where I was most exposed and kind of in that IFB world, still the fringes later on, but for sure as a missionary and just with other missionaries around us that were a lot more conservative and kind of my dad just... He was taught in the IFB and came out of that. The school, the college that he went to is the college that where Shannon and I both met. So they were very much IFB, but it was more of a, this is kind of how he was always taught. So this is how he always went along with it. And so therefore that's how I was brought up. So when we probably in my early, probably when I was about 10 or 11 years old, my dad started kind of searching the scriptures, God started moving in his heart that, you know, to really start taking the things that he was teaching and saying and kind of that we kind of as just a community were believing to really start taking those against scripture. And that's kind of where our path started to deviate from IFB. But I still went when we came back off of the mission field, I still went to an IFB high school. I still went to a college that would be considered in the IFB, or at least at that time was. I don't know if they would consider themselves now to be in that. And so I still had a lot of the influences through that and got to see a lot of it, especially with my friends in high school. But that's kind of my experience with legalism and IFB. And then, of course, I... met Shanna and our friendship just kind of has grown from there for many, many years. And now I'm in Cincinnati, Ohio. I don't have any kids. I have a dog and a cat, which you might hear today because they just get crazy sometimes, but just serving in my local church and trying, as Shanna said, trying to be faithful with what I have and what God has given me and being able to have being able to have a podcast is really cool. Being able to have a podcast with your best friend and talk about theology is just the greatest thing ever. So that's kind of where I am at.
That's great. I'm glad me and John, we get to do the same thing. And we're amazed every week that people want to listen to us, voluntarily listen. You know, we don't have to make them listen. They just listen, which is great. And so 6 months ago, you guys started Growing Grace. It's probably hard to believe it's been 6 months, but April is when your first episode came out. And so y'all are finishing up your 6 months. And you guys, y'all were at the Bourbon Meetup, right? If I remember correctly, yeah, we were all there, and that was a great time. I don't think we didn't meet you guys, but one of you shared your story.
Shanna did.
Okay, yeah. I thought one of you did. I couldn't remember. And so
I was back there on the couch, dog tired. And
did you sleep through it?
John's always tired. He has no life. He's an old fart, man.
You know, sleep apnea is not fun.
Wear your mask. Come on.
The mask is terrible.
It's not. It's great.
I get less sleep with the mask.
This guy. Listen, if you sit with John long enough, you'll start feeling his pity party too.
Oh, my goodness.
So 6 months ago, you guys started your podcast. Mm-hmm. What is the goal for your podcast? Where do you see things going? What do you hope to happen out of it? Me and John, we started John started this almost 2 years ago, or I don't even know how long ago it was. And we've even changed our direction over the last 6 to 8 months of where we're going and sort of the help we're trying to give. What's y'all's goal? What's your thought on the podcast?
Me to go? Yeah. When we started this, we were very intentional with just, we want people, and I'll say women, that's really our target. I mean, you guys listen, and we have men that listen, but we want people to think, with their minds deeply about God. And so we started off with just the doctrine of God, who is God, and laid a really solid foundation for that. And then we're moving in now into studying the word and how to do that, you know, and we want to have a very solid foundation with that before we even tackle deeper topics that we have every intention of hitting. And, but right now our goal is to get people to think deeply about God so that they can love and know him better. And, with their minds, we say this all the time, we're not going to give an account, to God for my husband's mind or my pastor's mind. I'm going to give an account to God for mine. And so that is really, I think that's really our heart, behind that. And going forward is right now, these first 6 months, we're blown away sometimes of the messages that we get from people. And we're just we had no idea that, like we said, if this would reach anyone, us and our moms, we're fine with that. Cause our moms, our biggest fans, but if it's just us and our moms, we're fine. But to have women say, man, I was really challenged by that. And now it's making me want to dig deeper here. That's really encouraging. That's what we want to do. We say this all the time. People may not agree with us, and that's okay. We want our podcast to be a starting point for you to think deeper and for you to search the scriptures for yourself. And so that's what I would say. Kristen, do you have anything to add to that?
Yeah. I think we just found that kind of the purpose behind our podcast, we just found, as Shanna said, we were having these conversations, but we felt like no one else around us was having these conversations as women. And we felt like the church by and large does not do well in general teaching theology, but much less women. And, it almost like it was a gatekeeping type thing, oh, well, we're not men, so we can't step into that and, be able to talk about those things or learn. And so you had to kind of go to outside things, outside resources. And so because of that, we wanted to provide another resource and be able to, like Shanna said, invite people to be able to study these things with us and think about them, and just really give a good foundation of who God is. And because we found that as we were having discussions, even with other people, it was, and other women, that they were having that they didn't necessarily have a right view of God. And so therefore, if you don't have a right view of God, if we started tackling some of these other topics that we want to eventually get into, it was going to be even harder to explain that God is a loving God. He's a gracious God. He's a holy God. But there's also this whole other aspect of God that sometimes we weren't taught. And so that's kind of why we started with that. But we're super excited to be able to get into the other topics that we have when we get to them.
Yeah, the sentiment that you guys sort of expressed, that going back to the early days of your friendship and growing together, of sort of unsure if other women are having these conversations, I guess that leads us to this question. Like, is that an aspect of how legalism affected you guys, you know, and maybe in some of your interactions with other women since you've been doing this has affected other women?
Absolutely. I would say without a doubt. I even think of specifically going to college and the courses and how they had laid out the courses that you were supposed to take. So I was an intercultural studies major, which is a missions major, and how devoid of a lot of those theology classes I was compared to what the men were taking. So they were getting a lot of those theology classes, whereas I was getting maybe a class.
Go ahead. Say it.
What do we call it? I haven't even referred to it.
It was like how to be a godly wife and mother.
How to be a godly wife and mother, basically, a bad thing. Which isn't a bad thing, but I don't know if I need to be
godly wives.
Right, but I don't know if I need to pay money at a college to take that course.
Well, one could argue that a great way to be a godly wife is to learn about God.
Yeah, you know, the theology aspects of it, and maybe a little bit
Bingo.
Deeper, and that some of those things should be coming out of the local church, right? Out of discipleship. To be a godly wife and mother should be coming as a byproduct of the local church and discipleship, or like how to teach kids with flannel graph, I think, is a class that I took. Mind you, that's in really, the early 2000s.
Really like, stood the test of time.
Right, exactly.
I feel real prepared.
That's not true. You're making that up.
No.
Oh, absolutely. We had a class.
I absolutely had a presentation.
I need to see your binder.
With a...
She might still have it.
If either of us have it, it's me.
I still have every one of my binders from college, and my wife gets so mad at me.
I recently had a nice little burning in the fire pit.
Come on.
I like fire, and I had that fueled the fire. So,
amen.
That's hilarious.
But yeah, so I mean, that was just one aspect of it, and I know it probably is spoken to at a deeper level of just the lack of discipleship just in general, but especially for women, just it just never felt like it was never just a priority, I guess, to really learn. And even as something as basic as studying scripture, and we've talked about this on our podcast of like we would be told, read your Bible. Okay. but when you're talking about studying scripture, there's a little bit more that goes into it than just sitting down and reading it. And I mean, we were both raised in a Christian home. We went through countless churches, through Bible college before we actually learned how to study our Bible and really study mm-hmm. scripture. I don't know. I'm sure Shanna has other things to say about it as well.
No, I think you really said that. I think that I remember like back in my home church and like growing up, a lot of our women's Bible studies were based on themes, right? And I think while those things, like whether it's anxiety, Kristen, also you have a book for me to send.
Oh yeah, I know. Remember that?
Whether it's anxiety and you're going to do a study on anxiety, good and well. Okay. I think that's amazing. Also, I think that's also how we get a lot of legalistic tendencies is just pulling out scripture verses to fit our narrative without reading it as a whole. And we were never taught to do that. I mean, my bachelor's is in Bible and I'm in my 30s and I'm like,
okay, I can see this as one big story now. And I can see how everything kind of fits into that story, including my own story. And I think that that's, if anything, looking back, like a bird's eye view of my life, it is, I can quote the scripture to you, not in context. And I think that's how legalism hurts women a lot.
That's a great point, because I feel like that a lot of that with my wife, she, you know, we've had many conversations over the past 2 years, and, you know, these verses will pop into her mind and she'll say, what about this? And I was, you know, it'll be quoting a verse and it'll be like, well, you know, let's look at the whole context. And as she's grown, you know, I think that it's what you guys sort of brought up. I was thinking about that concept of being a godly wife and mother. You know, it's a lot of times I think it's not just the legalistic cultures that do that. I mean, you go to most women's Bible small group or Bible studies, and they're of the same thing. That I don't know if you ever, Elise Fitzpatrick has a book that she did that my wife went through. Oh, it would be so perfect for women in the RFP community. And I can't think of the name of it right now. But it's a study that she goes through talking about like burdens that we place in our backpack and that kind of thing. And she sort of gets a little aggravated. She says most studies you go to Lifeway, or I don't know if she calls out Lifeway, but if you go to most studies of like Christian bookstores, it's either on Titus 2 or Proverbs 31.
Proverbs 31. Mm-hmm.
And she said, no woman can live up to be the Proverbs 31 woman. Mm-hmm. And it was sort of like everybody got a laugh. She's like, but seriously, she said, why aren't we teaching our women, you know, 99% of the rest of the Bible? Mm-hmm. And that's where all of the studies, you know, end up gearing towards.
Mm-hmm. Exactly. Well, and to take it even a step further, a lot of times, women, especially as mothers, are tasked with bringing up the children, and they do a lot of that. Not that the husbands don't as well, but they tend to spend the bulk of the time with them. And if they're not being taught theology, what are they then teaching their kids? Like, wouldn't you want for your kids to grow up with a proper view of who God is? Wouldn't you want your wife and the mother of your children to have that teaching as well, so that they can disseminate that from the very beginning and from bringing up the kids from a very young age, so that they're hearing, you know, the glory and majesty of who God is and how that affects and how that should change our lives. I've always thought that that was strange. And also, you know, a lot of Sunday school teachers are women. And so we've tasked and we've said, here, teach these Bible stories, but not giving a bigger picture of how those things kind of go with each other. And like you said, the bigger story of the narrative of scripture.
Mm-hmm. I think a very practical example of what you just said, I mean, literally like this week, my daughter has been the best sleeper. Like, she's amazing. She's 9. And lately it has been this just biggest fear that she has. And it's spiritual. The whole thing is spiritual. And someone made a comment to her that whenever you have bad dreams, it's just Satan trying to get in your head. And I was like, oh, okay. Like, that, exactly. That face was the face I gave. And so like, it's been like days of us like kind of getting to the heart of that, but not that she was just scared, but there was a reason behind that. And so I'm like, you know, last night we were having this conversation. I was like, honey, I don't want to hear about the enemy right now. I don't want to hear about Satan. I want you to tell me who God is. And we framed it to where her focus was on who God is, and what he can do and the truth of that, and not like what the enemy could do or her fears or whatever. And I think I was just thinking that would not have been me. I was terrified of the rapture when I was a kid. I'm like, I'm going to wake up and no one's going to be here. Thank you. Left behind. But I don't want my daughter. I want her to have this at 9, have this understanding and grounding in scripture and who God is. That is what her focus is on. And I'm thinking, like, I would not have been that mom you know, 5 years ago, even probably 5 years ago. And so to say what Kristen is saying, like, it is so important, not just for our walk with the Lord, which is most important, but also for our, the people around us, that we are, you're discipling people, whether you know it or not. You have friends that you're around, you're being discipled by outside things, whether you know it or not, and you're discipling other people. And so it's, yeah, it's something we're both very passionate about.
Yeah. I think we do a disservice or injustice to Titus 2 if all that we're teaching is Titus 2.
That's good.
Yeah. To our ladies. This was one of the conversations. We just started a ladies Bible study out of our church, and what they're learning is they're going through the book of Philippians and learning hermeneutics at the same time. Mm-hmm. Like, they're learning how to study the scripture, and we put a lot of time into it. And the conversation my wife and I had was like, you know, Titus 2 instructs that who should be doing the discipling of women in the local church. It's mm-hmm. the older women. But what do you have so often in the local church context with older women? They don't feel like I don't have anything to teach them about that. I don't know what to say to them. Mm-hmm. And so our goal was like, okay, let's change that. Let's challenge all of these ladies in this Bible study to grow, to be those Titus 2 women when they get to that age for the next generation that comes up.
Yeah.
And that's one of the motivating factors of what they're doing. And so they came and they are excited and they are so ready to dig into this. And it's not like, We've stacked them up, like, we've given them a lot of stuff and then extra resources to go to. But I think it's so important. Mm. I mean, the Bible never says that the men are supposed to be like, you know, and just so our listeners that don't listen to Grown Grace are clear, you know, Shanna and Kristen are very much believe, you know, the roles of pastors and that, like, you know, James and I have talked about before. They don't disagree with that. But I think that there's no sort of thing that says men should know more about the Bible than women should, or, you know, vice versa. It's really a sad sort of commentary on the church.
Mm. Yeah. Now, they may disagree that they can't go to Israel with the pastors, but they don't disagree with the rule.
You don't want us to hop on that right now.
We really just want the great deal. Like, it's such a great deal.
That's really it. We'll go by ourselves. Just give us the deal.
Oh, love it. All right. So we've talked about legalism, and we've talked about, in general, you know, how it's hurt in the past, how it's affected us mentally, even in our young adult and as parents and as young people going through life. It's affected a lot of us, how we do things. But how... Let's transition, because your podcast is called Grow in Grace. And so how can we take that thought of growing in grace, and how can we take this and say, how can grace bring healing to the time of legalism? I loved what Shana said earlier. Did I say it wrong again? Yes. Shana? I said it right.
You know what? Shana. I'm not.
Shana. Oh, sorry. I'm going to get it right.
Shana. It's fine.
Shana. I love what she said earlier. She said, nothing in life is wasted. And if we take that concept and we take that thought and we apply it to every principle of our life, okay, even the times of legalism, even the times of things that were done maybe unjustly or wrong or treated differently than what we should have been just because of who we were, how can we take that now? How can we take it and allow us to grow spiritually and to grow further into what God has us to be for our life? So how did grace bring healing through this?
Me, I'll go. I think that, like you said, looking back, it is very, you can go two ways, right? You can be very bitter. And I think, honestly, if we're talking about it, this is where growing grace came from, is that we were seeing so many women bitter from their, IFB days, and the counselor and Kristen is kind of like, okay, we have to get to the heart of this, right? It's okay to feel your emotions. It's okay to be angry that this happened. You can't stay there. And that is kind of where we were like, hey, God wants more for you, right? Like, this is not what God wants for you. I'm sorry, Kristen's cat is cracking me up.
I saw it in the window and I was like, it's a cat.
Wait, but whose cat? This cat originally was Shanna's, so that's a whole other story.
Don't have cats.
Anyways, back to...
Anyway, so one thing that I kind of want to... We're going to talk about grace, but kind of to piggyback on like the legalism thing is that legalism is like an outward performance instead of an inward change. And I think that was where Kristen and I, we saw so many people, and especially, and I'll just say this now, especially as the recovering fundamentalists started coming up, and we just saw so many women kind of coming out, their eyes were open, and then they were just like kind of angry. Kristen, would you agree? Mm-hmm. And our goal is like, hey, that's okay. You can be upset. You can't stay there. And that, I think that's kind of how Growing Grace came about is God wants more for you.
Yeah. And I would say not even we saw it in women, we saw it in ourselves.
Yeah.
We saw how the bitterness kind of was still lingering in there. And we were like, oh, that's not what we should be about. I think of being able to meet Mark Milioni at the Bourbon Meetup, who is now the president of the school that we went to, the college that we went to, and how healing. Helpful that was and healing that was to have a conversation. I don't even know how long we sat there and spoke and talked to him, but for him to say, hey, I'm really sorry. He didn't have to apologize. He wasn't at the school when we were there, but he said, hey, I'm really sorry that was your experience. And that is why we are wanting to change kind of the experience of how it is. And I think that was really helpful for us to recognize. I don't think up until that point did we recognize kind of the bitterness that we were holding on to of how we had, quote unquote, been wronged. Had we been wronged? Had we been held to standards that weren't biblical? Absolutely. But I don't think we realized how much we were still holding on to that until we'd kind of had that conversation and that kind of opened our eyes. And then that's really when we, I think, became a lot more sensitive to that of women that were recognizing and seeing the errors of legalism, but wanting to stay there and live there, or maybe not wanting to, but just not knowing how to grow past that and get out of that.
It was very much a, I think that's absolutely correct. It's I don't know what to do now. If everything I have been taught is wrong or taken out of context, like I can't, what can I trust? Who can I trust? And so that's kind of how we were, man, like, there is so much healing. And Kristen, I'm thinking even like, so the Bourbon Meetup, I flew into St. Louis and Kristen picked me up and she was like, hey, Shanna, do you want to go this way? And it was like Springfield toward Baptist Bible College. And I was like, hard pass. Like that was on the way to Bourbon. And I just keep thinking even then I was like, absolutely. I do not want to go there. And then I'm sitting there and I'm like, I think that's the president of BBC, like in this small little town in Missouri, that was the Lord. And I think that, I mean, that literally like that marked a point of healing, I think for me, for sure. And I think kind of Growing Grace was kind of born.
Everybody has frozen.
And his hand of protection in my life. I alluded to the fact that my dad had kind of started coming out and doing some searching of scripture. And now I look back and knowing the rebellion in my heart that I had as a teenager, just in where I was, not quite into legalism because my parents weren't that into it. I kind of see God's guiding hand of protection over my life in that I'm pretty convinced that if we had stayed as legalistic as we were, that it would have been a much different Kristen now. I think I would have rebelled pretty hardcore and wanted to do my own thing. So even being able to look back and say, wow, I see God's hand in that, in protection. And when he started making that change within my dad's life that then led our family in a different direction. So being able to point back to that and see those things is a true treasure, really.
I love it. I love it. And I've always said the the put off or the put on, the healing of legalism is grace. Or you could even say just the gospel. It's the gospel. Mm-hmm. And I love what you guys have done, because if I could do over starting ours, I would probably go in the same direction that you guys did, because I think that just my opinion here and working with those that are affected by, and I believe legalism is spiritual abuse, dealing with those that have been affected by spiritual abuse, that one of the first things, once they're ready to listen, once they're sort of like, okay, you know, they've some of that stuff has been sort of gotten through, worked through, and it's like, okay, now I'm ready to learn. I think the first thing that they need to get is coming to a realization of who God is, because legalism distorts, spiritual abuse distorts your view of God.
Yeah.
And that you can take that back to the Gospels. You know, what were the Pharisees and Sadducees doing? Mm-hmm. They were distorting who God was to the people. And Jesus came in there and slapped them right in the face and said, mm-hmm. I'm God. You know, mm-hmm. and they were about face to face with who God is, and found wanting. So I the way that you guys have sort of started your podcast out by going through the attributes of God and God's character, I just absolutely love it, because I think that's a great starting point. I think that's the starting point for a lot of people is getting to know who God is. Because when you realize who God is, yes, is he a God of justice? Is he a God of wrath? Absolutely. But that does not infringe upon his other characteristics, which is he's God of love and a God of grace and a God of mercy. They don't take away from each other. Mm-hmm. And that's something that I think was very misunderstood and misrepresented in at least the culture that I grew up in.
Yeah, no, I would agree. I think I was more scared than anything else. I viewed him that way instead of like a loving father. I was more scared. And so I would 100, I think that IFB does a great job of harping on, instead of he's not less love and more wrath, like he's all the wrath of God. Like I was scared all the time, and I loved him out of a fear and not because he was a holy God. You know?
Yeah. It was always that sense of he was sitting up there waiting for us to step a toe out of line so he could bat us back into line and, you know, bring down judgment. When we started and we were discussing starting our podcast and what we wanted those first few episodes to be, we knew that the first one needed to be what is the gospel, because like we were going to refer to that so often. And then shortly after that was going to have to be just a writing of who God is. Like we had a wrong view of God and still struggle with that, right? Like I'm not gonna pretend that we have this all figured out. There's still times when we see and we're like, ah man, I'm still viewing God not the way scripture is telling us he is. But it's so key, because this is who we are worshiping and who we are to know about. And so we need to have a right view of who he is.
Yeah, because your view of God shows up in just about everything that you're doing in life. Like you can, when you understand it practically, you can watch somebody and listen to what they're talking about and you can peg what they think of God. Because it does. Yeah. It affects, like somebody sent me an article yesterday of somebody presenting their philosophy of ministry and everything. And I was like, while I can agree with a lot of what he's saying, I said, his theology of God is showing through in what he's emphasizing and what he's de-emphasizing. Mm-hmm. And I can't get on board with that because he's putting a lot of the results on human means and not letting it rest upon God.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. That's been, I know, speaking of that, one of the coolest things and things that has stuck with me, and my dad probably shared it with me when I was 14 or 15 years old, was he said one of the turning points in his ministry was when he realized that how well he preached his sermon was not indicative of souls being saved. Like if he totally bombed the sermon, he said there was times when he would just completely beat himself up, that like souls, maybe there was a soul there that needed to be saved, and he would take that burden on himself. But, and that's a wrong view of God's role in salvation, right? That he is in control and that he is the one that does the drawing, and that he is the one that he uses us, but that ultimately he doesn't need us, and that it is not, that responsibility does not weigh on us as we're giving the gospel, right? And so it's one of the things that has stuck to me, with me, about what my dad has said. He said when that clicked, when that changed, when he realized that, now that didn't diminish the preparation that he needed to do, but if things happened, and in the Hispanic culture, like kids are running up and down the aisle sometimes during the sermon, and my dad would get frustrated and be like, but this is a distraction and people might not hear. And he realized that when that wasn't his responsibility, that it was God that does the saving, that it is God who does, or the Holy Spirit that does the drawing, that was a very freeing moment for him. And
It's the same way in the counseling room too. Mm-hmm. You know, I pray a lot of times in the counseling room. I'm like, listen, I can't change this heart that's in front of me. That's God's work.
Yeah.
And don't let it rest on me. Like, don't let me sit there and think that either I'm going too hard or too intense trying to do so, or judging myself afterwards because of maybe that aspect. Mm-hmm. But, you know, judging on what God has put out for me to judge. And so, yeah, absolutely. It's just, it's so important. It's so important. And I think that's why, you know, driving people to who God is vital. I think what we wanted to sort of conclude with is, and you guys can handle this however you want, if you have each have three or you tag team it, I don't know, but maybe some three practical ways to identify legalism in your life. Let's talk to the listeners. So they're coming out of this, they're growing in grace now, but you guys know that you still have those remnants inside that's just like still hanging out there that you don't know. I hate legalism, right? I'm so against legalism, but yet we still have those remnants of the legalists still. And it may be pushed on somebody else, or it may be the element of what we're judging ourselves by. You know, what are some practical ways of identifying that?
I really love that question, because, you know, I have been very vocal about this. Like, I am in counseling right now for perfectionism, and I 100% think that is a byproduct of growing up in the IFB and with legalism. It was very much, I said this the other day, and like, I literally saw people cringe. I was always taught that God doesn't deserve 100%. He deserves 150%. And I'm like, I can't do that. You know, like, you're setting yourself up for something that you can never attain. And it's just always this climb that you'll never reach. And it's draining. Like, it is completely draining. And so for me, one of the practical things, when I am like kind of dealing with something or looking at something, is this about me? Am I the focus right now? Or is God the focus right now? And almost every single time, if the focus is on me, it's something I'm doing is trying to take it, you know, into my own hands. And so I don't know, Kristen, would you add, like, that's just one thing I think when I personally am dealing with legalism. Mm-hmm. Okay. Is this a standard that God has given in his word? And we're actually right now, our next episode is on legalism and the law. And so I kind of love that when you guys suggested this, and I was like, this is perfect, because this is kind of what we're studying.
Yeah.
And so it's like, you know, the law is a good thing. We don't ever want to say that the law is like terrible, you know, like it teaches us to live in God's world, God's way. But grace is how we do that, right? Like, that grace is how we do that. And so for me, it is really framing, is this focused on me and what I'm trying to attain, or is this focused on what God can do through me?
Yeah. I think it's funny that you said the way you said that, Shanna, because I definitely, when I was looking through this and thinking through three practical ways, one of my first ones was, well, does God say it in the Bible? Because that's like a pretty, you know, a pretty straightforward one. And I'm a very straightforward, blunt person, which is fun in the counseling room to temper that. it really is. Like, I just find in my life when there are those little, like, kind of poking out types of legalism that are just kind of worming their way in, a lot of times I just have to go back to scripture and I have to say, okay, where did this come from? Like, and it takes having to go back and think, okay, when was I taught this? Like, how did I come about to believe this thing? So a lot of times it is kind of tracing it back. Like, was this something that my parents taught? Was this something just out of the culture that I was in that I started to pick this up? And then going to scripture and saying, what does scripture say about this? Like, what does God talk about this? So there are some things that some people deem as legalism that I believe God says in scripture that this is how it should and shouldn't be. That's not legalism. That is God's command. And we are still called to keep God's commands. Like, he says, if you love me, keep my commandments. Like, there is still that aspect that we are called to keep God's commands. So I would not put that in the legalism category, even though a lot of people might. We're always trying to go back to scripture and see, okay, what does scripture say about that? Which requires you to know scripture and be able to go back and be able to study scripture. So that was one of, I know it seems like a cop out, but that was one of my practical ways. I was like, what does scripture say? Yeah. Because that is our standard.
Well, yeah. I think also like in Mark, it says like the Pharisees were coming to Jesus and they were saying like, why do your disciples not walk in the tradition of their elders? And Jesus rebukes them, right? And he's like, you leave the commandment of God and hold to the tradition of men. And that has always stuck with me. Is I'm like, what is tradition and what's the commandment of God, you know? Kristen, I think that was a fantastic answer because it's always bringing it back to God's word. It's always bringing it back to God's word. And I want to say it's as easy as ABC, but it is getting in scripture. That's really it.
Yeah. And, you know, for me thinking back in college, I didn't buck the rules many times. I didn't, you know, but I would often think, why is this rule here? It's not in the Bible. Why is this rule even a rule that we have to do? Because there's nowhere in scripture for it. And in my mind, it was, you know, I'm here. It's a rule. I'm going to follow it. No big deal. But in the back of my mind, that was my thought of why is this even such a big deal? Why am I getting wrote up? Why is this thing even happening? And so that does cause some things in our life to cause us to rebel, to cause us to go when legalism happens and there's no grace behind it, there's no reason behind it, and there's no biblical ground for it in a Bible college. Come on now. You all of a sudden you start seeing some of these things happen. So. All right, ladies, anything else there for other practical ways? Sorry, I had to step out for a minute there, so I don't know what I missed.
That's okay. We're just saying, get in the word. That's what we're saying.
Good.
I know it's not three practical ways, but I think it's just being aware that it's a growing process, right? That once you step out of legalism, or you're either open to what legalism is, it's not an immediate like departure from it. Like you said, it's always kind of has its roots in there because we were a lot of us for different ways. You know, I was in my probably mid-20s, early 20s before we really started getting out of it and kind of having my eyes open to that. Shanna's was different. So everyone has different times that they were in it and degrees to what they were in it. And so it's not a magic like switch that's going to be flipped that, oh, you're just free of legalism and you're never going to have to be on guard for it and like watch for it. It's something that is constantly going to needing to kind of examine yourself and examine your motives and examine where these things are coming from.
Yeah. And I would just add, this is also really simple. answer. But we are formed, like Kristen said, 20 years. I mean, that's a long time. Like, and some people it's way longer than that. Like you're mm-hmm. formed, you know, from like your history. And so it's not a magic switch, but what we can do other than getting in the word is just pray and ask the Holy Spirit. It's mm-hmm. like, hey, when I am, leaning more toward the law or legalism, instead of like remembering like that grace and truth came from Jesus Christ and that he fulfilled the law. If I cannot remember that, like Holy Spirit, help me do that. You know, I think so many times people want this checklist of things to do and you're like, hey man, like, have you prayed about it? Like, that's a great first step.
Yeah. Yeah. And one of the things that I think that I like to recommend is if you're still working through some of these things is I think Kristen had sort of touched on it, you know, where's your heart motivation at, you know, figuring that out. And that can be very confusing time too, of trying to identify that. Gospel Treason by Brad Bigney is a fantastic resource of getting to that. Now the entire book is more encompassing, but in the middle of the book, I think one of the chapters he gets into talking about this idea of being your own legalist and getting to the heart of the issue. We actually, James and I got to interview him several episodes back and about that book, but I highly recommend that book if that's where your struggle is at the time. And I love what Shana ended there with prayer, because I think so many times some that's listening to this is they're going to cringe at this, but you have to understand the nature of spiritual abuse. Sometimes in the middle of spiritual abuse, it's hard for you to go to the Bible. Mm-hmm. It's where you need to go, but you're not ready for it yet. And you have to understand it this way, because most of the times what's been brandished as the weapon that abused you was scripture. Taken out of context, misused, absolutely, but you're gun shy with that. And so therefore, just pray, go to God, seek God, you know, fantastic worship music. I'm really on this kick right now of experimenting. Kristen, you like this. I'm experimenting with counselees with when I give them assignments, giving them also a worship song sort of ties to that and just sort of, and I'm not really doing it because I'm saying this is what this is going to do. They're coming back and I'm recording like data of like, what did this do for you? How did this help? And that kind of thing. So I'm really sort of on this kick of the impact of rich, theological, solid music. I really believe God gave us this medium, this art form to work on the soul. You think of some of the hardest pieces of scripture are Psalms of lament. Yeah. But what were they? They were songs.
Mm-hmm. This is something that I think Shana has heard me talk about in depth about that is that, you know, music is definitely something that sticks with you, right? Like,
oh yeah.
It's not often that you're going to, in the time of trials, that you're going to turn around and be like, oh, I remember this really great sermon about this. You might. More often than not, it's going to come to mind of a song that gets you through that, or that is easier to recall. And so that's really cool to think of, like you said, in the counseling room, of being able to use that and use these rich, and it's why rich theological worship music and songs are so important, because they're teaching us about God. Like, we are learning and our theology is being shaped by these songs. Mm-hmm. And so it's very important that we make sure that theology in the songs are correct. Ooh, yeah. I could go on way too long about
you
that.
Think about how many, this is about. how many people It As Well has helped through a hard time.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And if you've ever done any work in a nursing home, like I did nursing home ministry, Bible college every Sunday there, you're talking about people gathering their minds are gone. But when you start singing these old gospel hymns, they start singing along with you. There's something to that.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah.
We're sort of just sort of chatting right now.
I was like, we just got off. Sorry.
Yeah. James, close.
It's your fault, John.
Well, thanks for joining us today for the program. Thank you for the ladies here for coming from Growing Grace and sharing this great time with us. We look forward to seeing all of you. So we look forward to meeting you guys in person in November at the meetup. If you haven't signed up, go to the recoveringfundamentalist.org and sign up for the Sake of the Gospel Conference. And I think there's one spot left for the Israel trip. If you haven't signed up for that, go and sign up and join me and several other people that are going to be there. And John, until next time,
to God,
not the pastor,
be the glory.
Thanks for listening to the For Freedom Podcast. To find more content like this, please visit rfpnetwork.org. To find more podcasts like this one, resources, and meetups to encourage you on your journey.